You're watching the Prep Rally Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to Prep Rally. This week we have a good show for you, but first we're going to start off with a little surprise for Graham, actually.
Time out.
What?
You didn't even introduce yourself.
I was going to get to that. I wanted you to do your surprise first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so anyway, his surprise. We're just going to keep
it going. We're going to do the surprise first thing.
Yes, we're going to do the surprise first thing because I think it's important, okay?
Okay.
Happy halfway to retirement.
Now that's funny. I don't even know what to say. I'm also going to be announcing my retirement right now and go out on top. Wow.
Isn't it great? You know, someday it'll be a full cake, but for now it's a cupcake. I was going to get a cake and do it halfway in the middle, but just didn't seem right. And I wanted to get you something that was full, so
just
cupcake.
Just don't tell my wife I'm having that because I'm supposed to be dieting. So.
Well, tell her not to watch the show.
I don't think she watches it anyway.
Well, anyway, I'm your host, Sydney Ruth Mulvannon, here with Graham Thomas of the River Valley. Oh.
No, you're not wrong. I am,
Yeah, you're in Siloam, so that was correct.
That's not the River Valley.
Graham Thomas, who works in Northwest, lives in the River Valley, close
it's not close to it. we're gonna have geography class one day. And we're gonna learn where Mountainburg is, and we're gonna learn where Siloam Springs is, and what the River Valley is, and it's gonna be a great day. We'll have a map and everything. I'll be like the weatherman, Al Roker,
That just seems uncalled for because I'm young.
Geography is very important. I think Leland would agree with that.
Oh, absolutely. You need to know where you're at.
Well, that was Leland Barclay of the River Valley. At least I got that one right.
Truly in the River Valley.
Hey, I give you credit. You at least had my name this time.
That's true. I forgot the first time. Sorry about that. Well, because I don't call you your full name. I just call you Graham,
I'll take whatever I can get, so.
Appreciate it. But anyway, let's talk about some games, especially the one of Springdale versus Harbor this past Friday. Thoughts on that game?
Well, it played out about like I thought it would. Mm-hmm. The Springdale boys once again showed us they are the top team in the 6A West Conference. I feel like if there's any team in the conference that has a chance of knocking them off, it is Harbor because of their high upside with Cortland Muldrew, Hayden Wood. But the game was at Springdale. The house was packed. And Springdale did what Springdale does. They got good contributions from all their players. There wasn't like a real dominant performance. I think Seeley had 20, Conley had 13, Cy Bates had 10 or 11, something like that. And Jackson Conley played lockdown defense on Cortland Muldrew, held him to like maybe 8 points or something. And Springdale won the game pretty handily by about 19 points. Mm-hmm. So not a big surprise there. I think it'll be a lot closer when they go play at Harbor, in a couple weeks. And the fact that should be the very last ball game of the regular season for both teams before the playoffs start. And then in the girls' game, again, not a big surprise. Springdale plays really well on their home floor. And they won by about 10, I think, over the Lady Wildcats. It was a good game, but Springdale pulled away late. And, it was a from everything I gather, I wasn't at the game, but from everything I've been told, big crowd, exciting atmosphere, state tournament type atmosphere, and that was good to hear.
Yeah, I watched it on the TV, and I was really impressed. For me, I think it was the first big crowd of the season that I've seen. A crowd that was really getting into it, especially Springdale's student section. Mm-hmm. Our producer, Diana, was at that game. So I'm going to have Diana tell y'all about a little bit of the atmosphere and what it was like.
Oh, it was amazing. I went to Springdale High School, love Springdale High School. I'm so happy that they got the remodeling they deserved. And I think it was a great time. I had a lovely time.
Awesome.
But it was kind of funny because she was telling us earlier about how some of the student section was doing like the lights out type of thing.
Oh,
motions,
yeah.
Waving at the harbor student section as they were dispersing in the fourth.
I have to do a little something here. It's called Night Night. It's Steph Curry's Night Night. In fact, Scotty Bordelon talked about it in the story that he wrote about how Jackson Conley did that a couple times to the just another kind of a innocent little trash talking, I guess. I actually had to look up what Night Night looked like. I don't watch a whole lot of the NBA. I mean, I know who Steph Curry is, but I'd never seen him just do the Night Night thing. So I had to go look it up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was really impressive because speaking of Jackson Conley, like during the game, it was at the end of the first quarter. It was kind of a little bit of a shootout. You had Muldrew shoot a three, and then on that very next second with seconds left to go in the first, Conley had that half-court shot, and he did the night-night towards the Harbor student section, which I thought was insane. I haven't seen a half-court shot in so long. I can't even remember when. So that was really impressive. But it was a little disappointing on the Harbor side just because Muldrew, he just seemed to be really trying.
Well, Conley did a good job on him, yeah. Is what I got to visit with Coach Deffyball on Monday night after they beat Rogers, and he said Conley did a great job defending them. Whoever he was defending, whether it was Muldrew, whoever, he locked them down, and that's what he does. So
yeah, but you can't help but notice that he probably wanted it more because, correct me if I'm wrong, but he is a former Springdale player.
I'm sure he was a little inspired. Yeah. A former Harbor player. He was a little inspired.
Yeah.
For sure.
So that's one of those things where I'm like, you got it. It's kind of like with the Hogs versus Kentucky. You have kind of a flip side of players, and you're going back into that arena, and you're kind of wanting to prove something. And so you could definitely tell that he was wanting to prove something.
Leland, have you ever, in the Church League games or whatever, have you ever gone night-night on someone and done a little trash talk?
No. No, I'm old school. I think you should let your play do your talking for you. But I realize it's 2025, and but no, I would not go night-night on somebody.
But you know what? I agree with that, too, because one of the things I saw during the game was Sealy getting a technical. And I was just kind of like, come on, because I know you get hyped and emotional during that game because it's a rivalry game. But for me, I'm just thinking about, this is number one team. You're wanting to win state and everything. I mean, these little moments in those games count. And when you control yourself in those high environments, because that's what it's going to look like at state. Who's going to be the most composed? And what I noticed about Harbor, and a detail that our producer Diana let us know about, but the Harbor team just kind of at some point, they were just getting in little bickers with each other on the sideline. And for me, I think that's kind of a downfall when you can get the other team can get into your opponent's head and just, you kind of argue with each other, kind of doubting each other. A little bit of that trust gets lost throughout the game.
As Crash Davis says, don't let them get in your kitchen.
Well, I agree. And Springdale did that against Harbor. And it was a good game for the girls, though. I mean, Kaya McCoy really impressed me. She had more than 20 points, at least 9 of them in three-pointers. Really impressed by her in that Springdale game. But unfortunately, they lost to Northside last night.
Well, and I think Leland called that one. It was we all agree, I think Springdale's a good team. But if you look at Springdale and then you look at Northside, okay, there is a vast difference in the way they look. Springdale's a very small team. Northside's got some big kids. And playing at Northside, you just don't walk into Northside and win. So
yeah, but I think
Springdale didn't.
But I think also to Leland's point, it's all based on how you can play. And I mean, I was watching the Northside Springdale game last night, the boys' game, and my pick from last week, Derek Shepherd, was playing, and he's a smaller guy, but he can really if he puts his head down, he can really shoot the ball. And so I don't really think that plays into a factor that much. I just think if you, play the game, I think, yeah.
Leland, you were at that game shooting some photos for us. I'd like to get your thoughts because that was a big matchup and that was your upset special.
Well, I think I could basically just go ditto to everything that you said about the Springdale and the Harbor game. You know, I kind of could see that one coming. And anybody who knows anything about Ricky Smith and Northside Lady Bears basketball and knows how good this team is, and also, you know, Heather Hunsucker, of course, played for Ricky Smith mm-hmm. and was the point guard on his first state championship team. So there was that, too. The fact that Springdale girls had not swept Northside since 1992, which was before Ricky Smith even got to Northside. So there was just a lot there. Plus the fact that Northside was I don't want to say in danger, but, you know, if they lose that game, they're in danger now of slipping back to, well, they are going to be in third, maybe even fourth place at that point. So it was a huge game. It was at home. Ricky Smith going up, you know, he'd lost to his, you know, former player for the first time ever, the first conference game of the year. So there was a lot that went into it. Now, if Springdale could have kept it close for a while, it may have been a little bit different. But Northside jumped on him early, and it was just, you know, it was up around 17, 18 point lead. Yeah, it was kind of night night.
It was night night.
So it was not a surprise. The final score 72-57. You know, the nice thing about it from Springdale's point of view is they still have a one game cushion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the advantage of having two games over at the time Northside. So,
but Springdale also has to go to Harbor and win there. That's not going to be an easy task in that last, you know, like that last set of games for the year is going to be really exciting with a lot on the line.
I mean, I know that Harbor team from this past Friday is going to want revenge at that game for sure.
No doubt. But we got a ways to go before they play that one again.
That's true. We got some good games coming up this week and tonight especially. What are some of the games tonight?
Well, you know, it's an odd week for the conference. You know, they played Monday night and they're going to play Wednesday night, which is tonight, and then they play Friday. It's a 3-game week and it's just a little bit different. The game I've really got my eye on is going to be back at Harbor as Bentonville West goes and visits Springdale Harbor, and particularly the boys game. The girls game probably Springdale Harbor should win that one pretty handily. But Bentonville West beat Harbor in overtime in the second conference game of the year, and nobody, I think, saw that one coming. And, you know, Harbor really struggled with Rogers for the most of four quarters the other night before pulling away and winning by 10. So, now, I do think that the Wildcats will be ready to go this time for Bentonville West. I think they'll beat Bentonville West. But that's the one I've got my eye on. And then you know, the other games tonight, we've got Bentonville at Rogers Heritage, Southside at Springdale, Rogers at Fort Smith Northside. Not a lot of, I think Leland would probably agree, not a lot of mystery in any of those games. We think we know how they'll go. So if one doesn't go the way we're thinking, what a great story that'll make. It'll be a great upset. So,
well, I think the Rogers at Northside game is a huge boys game.
Yes,
I mean, I think it's going to be.
He's right.
I think the Grizzlies are going to find it pretty easy to put the Springdale game behind them. I mean, Springdale's just that good. And when you stand there and watch a slide jam a slam contest, which is, you know, Springdale definitely plays above the rim. So it's going to be easy for them to put that game behind them and focus on the two they have left this week, starting with Rogers on Wednesday night.
Now, Rogers got Northside pretty good at Rogers early in the conference season, but you're absolutely right. If Rogers has got to bounce back from that loss to Harbor, and not sure they're going to have what Braxton Lindsay's status is. He was having a great game going into the third quarter, and he caught an elbow from Cortland. It was an accident. I don't think it was a purposeful shot, but he took one right across the nose and he didn't come back in the game. So I don't know what his status is, but Nate Jones of Rogers, and we'll talk about him a little more later. If he comes out on fire like he did, then, you know, he could give Northside some trouble. But, you know, generally Northside plays very well at home. So that'll be a tall order for the Mounties.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to go into our fantasy league of the week. So far, I think it, again, is Leland leading the way. I think it's 2-0 for both of us, Graham, currently. I don't know. Leland, how do you feel about being at the lead of the draft?
Well, Alyssa Parker had 25 points and 6 rebounds, and Kyla Piercy had 33 points this week and 20 points last week, 53 points over 2 games. You know, they're both pretty good.
Hey, what can I say? I like to pick the underdog, okay? They may not be your top scorer, but they're efficient in other ways, okay? With that,
well, and Derek Shepard's really good.
He is a great player. I was really impressed with the way he played against Springdale. You know, I also, too, it was kind of convenient for me because Seeley and Shepard are my picks. So it was kind of like almost seeing a matchup of what they could look like as teammates, at least for me. I was noticing that.
You and Seeley got to figure out a way to get your photo made together.
I mean, who knows? I may be covering him on the Hogs next year, you know?
Hey, I mean, nothing would thrill me more than to see him go to Arkansas and have a great career there. So
exactly. I'm excited that he's going to Arkansas. I think we get that special treat of seeing him in high school, like a preseason.
No doubt.
You know, all the way through. So it's exciting, and especially with Coach Cal. But with that being said, we're going to let our producer, Diana, pick who goes first in our draft this week. Drum roll, please, for the first one. Grim drum.
And it is Graham.
Okay, I'm, you know, when you're desperate, when you're down 2 weeks to zero, you can go for the big one, and I'm going to go with Courtland Muldrew. I mean, you know, if he's putting up 35 a night, I'm all in. Give me Courtland Muldrew.
Okay. Second pick.
Our second pick is Sydney.
Yes. I still feel like Leland's just going to have that one pick.
Well, I'm wondering how at the first 3 weeks I'm going to go third, second, and third.
I actually ask Siri to pick a random number, so I promise I'm being fair.
Yeah, she showed me.
Well, it's just that in a draft, it's not random.
They don't, but it is with the ping pong balls. Don't they still do that? You know, with the little machine and.
If this was a draft, Leland, you'd still go last every time.
And what's impressive, he's going to go last and still beat us. So,
you know what?
I think it's time to stress eat the cupcake.
No, you know what? You are just sour. Okay. You're like a Sour Patch gummy. Okay. Every week, I still have hope. Okay. I have hope that I'm going to win one of the weeks. Okay. And you're just over here being all sour and amiss. Okay. I'm like a Jolly Rancher over here. Okay. Don't.
I'm crying. See?
Crying.
No, I have dry eyes.
That's what it is. See that, Leland? You made him cry. He's just he's desperate for his pick. Wow. Well, all right, with my third week pick, it was tough because I always like to go the other way. Not so much with scoring, but with defense. But I'm gonna pick Kaya McCoy as my pick from Springdale.
I like it. She gets after it.
Yeah. Thank you. That I was going back and forth with two picks. I'm not going to tell you who else I was going to choose just in case. But
I went all offense.
You need those points, so I get it. All right, Leland, who's your pick?
Well, I'm going to go the other half of Greenwood's 1-2 punch and go coming off a 40-point performance. Izzy Smith.
Okay, but you know what? We can't base it totally off of points.
I think it should be overall and also the opponent.
Yeah.
And how big the game was.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, that's yeah. I think that's a part of it, absolutely.
So Kaya McCoy's, you know, 22 points are equivalent to 44, you know? If we look at it that way. Don't give me that face. You just said it's based on the opponent that they're playing. Northside Springdale was a bit like, it was a good game.
Did you say your mom was a math teacher?
22 plus 22, 44.
Huh. It's like the reward.
That's creative. That's creative math.
Thank you. I mean, I know that was in the, you know, Harbor game, But, you know, equivalent, you know, Harbor, Northside, they're all, you know, big opponents. So, what do you guys think, Leland? Do I get a technical one?
They were big opponents. But, you know, Greenwood winning at Mountain Home, I mean, that was gigantic.
So I think I should get a point because I called that one from the very beginning.
Did you, though?
Oh, absolutely. We got the text messages to prove it.
I wasn't in those text messages. I need to see proof of that. Run it
back. Yeah, you might be glad you're not on that text thread because it gets a little wild. And
why? There's a lot of night nights in there.
No night nights. Just a lot of scores, a lot of updates coming over, and it's like, wow, my phone is blowing up.
Oh.
While I'm trying to cover this game.
I'm going to need to see some proof of that, okay? I need to see the playback on that.
Yeah, I told Leland and Kevin Taylor from the River Valley earlier this year that don't sleep on Greenwood while they have Izzy Smith and Kyla Piercy.
Well, because...
And they mostly agreed with me, but I've been on board the whole time.
Well, since Leland is here right now... That's bias, so I'm going to have to ask this Taylor person for the essential evidence.
Ask Taylor Swift.
Because Leland could be on your side for that. We got to get a non-biased opinion.
I hope Leland's got my back.
Yeah, he did. He called it.
Now, I didn't pick them to beat Farmington, so, but I'm not... I wouldn't pick the New York Knicks to beat Farmington right now. So, in Madison Square Garden, no less.
Yeah, where we might be next week. We got a good budget here. A total of $5 and a green screen.
The budget has already been broken.
Oh, yeah. Here's our budget. Read it and weep right here.
That's also the size of my retirement, so... Just saying.
Wow. Thank you for letting our whole audience know that.
Hey, I mean, it's going to taste good, though.
We love pure honesty on this show.
Well, that's, you know what? Hey, don't forget on Saturday, the dual state wrestling championships are at Van Buren, Class 5A.
And we have dual state up in Northwest Arkansas as well. I don't know that I've ever fully understood what dual state is because it's not state, it's dual state.
I have no idea what it is.
So it's interesting. Yeah, it's like a
it's
team.
More team
Yeah,
it's kind of more team related.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to sit down with our wrestling guy, Paul Boyd, and get him to explain it to me. But that is a big deal for the wrestling community. And then, you know, they've got another like a last meet qualifiers event after that, and then it's state for them. Yep. So then we'll be done with wrestling. And, you know, wrestling's big in Northwest Arkansas. It's big in the River Valley, in Arkansas and Oklahoma.
Well, you guys, we're coming up on our final segment, On the Clock, and we are going to have our producer, Diana, pick who goes first this week.
Based off of random draw, this week's first person is Leland.
Yeah, now you pick me first.
Leland, you couldn't be... I'm telling you.
Hey, I got my pick anyway, even though I was definitely considering Cortland Muldrew.
That brings up a great question. Am I allowed to pick a River Valley kid? Because I absolutely would have picked Izzy Smith.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought we were having to stay in our lane, you know?
No, I guess I'm the only one that knew that. But I still picked.
Well, Sydney picked Derek Shepherd.
Yeah.
Last week.
Well, I mean, Sydney is a go-between, you know.
So. No, that's not no. That the you didn't catch that though. I mean, you need.
No,
to...
I noticed it. I didn't know if that was allowed for me.
Oh yeah, of course it is. I mean, it's okay. You know, you'll have your chance next week. You know, but maybe you go last. We don't know. It's a random drawing every time. Okay. Leland, are you ready for the on-the-clock topic?
Sure.
Our on-the-clock topic this week is who had the best play of the week? And for reference, you can say either Northwest or River Valley for this one as well.
Okay. Best play of the week.
Yes, and you got to justify it with, you know, team effort, all the things. Okay. You are ready to go in 3, 2, 1. Oh. Now go.
I'm going to go with Trenton Cooley of Van Buren, senior guard. Van Buren had lost a heartbreaker at Greenwood in the conference opener 4 weeks ago. Greenwood traveled to Van Buren on Friday night. Trenton Cooley, and it was a close game after three quarters. Van Buren scored the first 8 points of the fourth quarter. Trenton Cooley hit 3 three-pointers in the fourth quarter to kind of put that game away, kind of sealed the game, really. And those were really just daggers and helped Van Buren win tremendously over Greenwood 63-51 on Tuesday night. I think I said Friday night earlier. Tuesday night.
All right. 14 seconds left to spare. Okay. You ready, Graham?
I'm ready.
Okay. On your mark, get set, go.
All right, I'm going to go with Natalie Perez of Siloam Springs, and there's a lot going into this one, but, you know, she hit the game-winning shot with 1.7 seconds left against Alma the other night to give Siloam Springs its first conference win of the year. Been a tough year for those girls. They've had some injuries to start the year, including to their leading scorer. They had one foul out. It was homecoming. It was a big crowd there. And, you know, she hit a really big shot for them. They're going to struggle some in this conference. It's a tough conference. They're going to be outmatched, but they picked up a conference win, and you know that was huge for them, for the program they're trying to build there. You know that's a program with a lot of pride and tradition. They're just a little bit down right now, and that she made a huge shot for them.
12 seconds left to spare. Good job, you guys. All right, Diana, tell us how Leland did. Okay, let us know how Graham did. I will say, I this is my first comment for the On the Clock. I think you guys did really well this week, but, I mean, a buzzer game-winning shot.
Yep, I agree. Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, just it is what it is. It's they're having a tough year, and and I actually was at that game. So, you know, in having lived over there and just kind of, you know, they were 12-2 in the league just 2 years ago. And to, you know, they're 1-8 right now. So, or you 1-7.
But it was a spark of hope that they needed for that game. Absolutely. Well, we have this and much more next week on Prep Rally. And don't forget, we might be in a special place next week, Madison Square Garden. Bulldog Arena, we don't know, but stay tuned to find out next week. All right, well, guys, see you next week.